So I came across a poem this week, and I'm not a poem person. I think I'm too cool for poems, but I did like this one when I read it. No offense to anyone that likes poems, you are also cool. It's not started well. Okay, so we all need a friend to encourage us. We all need someone who in God truly trusts. We all need a partner with whom we can pray, someone who will help us stay on the narrow way. We all need a mentor in whom we can share, someone who understands the weight of our care. We all need a confidence to help our faith grow, someone who believes God's will we can know. We all need a friend, a faithful supporter. We all need God's Spirit to be our shock absorber. And I just thought that was such a cool thing when I read that this week. So Monday night, I did the spiritual thing, and I took some time aside to pray for tonight and to really seek God. And instead of seeking God, I spent an hour and a half watching TV. I know you guys never do that. I'm sure Colin prays 3 hours every day and never watches TV. But I believe it was God's plan, because I ended up watching a program. I don't know if it's well known in Britain, but it was this program. If it's working, is it, Colin? Can you put it on for me? That one. This program called Touched by an Angel. Does anybody know of this program? Everybody's shaking their head. I thought it was a well-known program. Anyway, it's something. It's a 1990s program, so obviously all of you have no idea what it is. And the whole concept of Touched by an Angel is what God does is he sends angels to earth in human form, and they kind of get integrated into the lives of people. And their whole purpose and their whole jobs is to help people and comfort people and guide people, and most importantly, reveal God's love to people. And on Monday night, I thought, oh, I'll just watch a little bit of this. And I ended up watching probably about 2 hours of this, because it was a special program. And this particular program was about a Chinese lady in China, obviously, who stood up against the government for human rights. And in the 1990s, that wasn't very good to do. So she got thrown into prison. And in prison, this angel actually appears to her. And she says, you know what, I've come to tell you that God loves you. And this Chinese woman says, God, I don't know who God is. You know, because obviously in China, God is not really someone that people talk about. It's forbidden. And this angel spends the next couple hours revealing God's love to this Chinese woman. And this Chinese woman is actually going to be killed for what she did. So she's sentenced to death. And she says to this angel, this angel's name is Monica. And she says, Monica, will you stay with me to the end? Will you stay with me? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And Monica says, I promise I will stay with you to the end. And a couple days later, the soldiers come to take her. And as she's being taken to be, you know, killed, she shouts out, Monica, Monica, don't leave me, I'm afraid. Monica, stay with me. And Monica says to her, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And she walks with her, and Monica protects her a little bit because the soldiers were trying to hurt her and protects her. And the whole program ends where the soldiers actually throw her down the stairs, which I know everyone's looking so happy right now. And Monica, as she's lying on the floor and she's dying, Monica picks her up and holds her in her arms as she's dying. And this woman says to her, can you tell me about God one more time? And this is the last scene, which Colin can put on for me, sorry, because it's not actually working. I don't know what I've done. Is it working? Sorry, Colin. If you could. Is it going to show? There we go. So this is the last scene. That's the angel Monica, and that's the death angel ready to take her back home. And Monica says, you know, there is life here on earth, but there's life after earth as well. And God is waiting for you, and you are going to behold him face to face. Now, the interesting thing is that Monica and all of this didn't try and save the woman. She didn't try and, you know, bring her back to life. She actually just sat with her until the end. And as I was watching this, God actually spoke to me. And he said, that is exactly how the Holy Spirit is. This whole program was exactly how the Holy Spirit was, that he was sent to earth to be with us and to comfort us, You know, and it's amazing that this lady's need was massive. And she was Holy Spirit. She said, Monica, help me, help me. And I just felt like God's saying that that's what the Holy Spirit is there to do, to show us God's love, to reveal God's love. And every single program I've watched of this, every time the angels say, God loves you. And the reaction of the humans is like, really? He loves me? Why would he love me? And they would say to him, because he's chosen you and he made you and he loves you. But watching this showed me actually another interesting thing. It showed me that as humans, we are very weak. We are actually very weak in general. And I know this is all going to be so encouraging, but there's a point I've got to this. And if you want to test how strong you are, just take something that you really love, that you really enjoy doing, and give it up for a month. Whether it's sugar, my issues, or your phone, or Twitter, give it up. Don't give up your wife. If you love your wife, it's okay. You can keep her for a month. But something you really enjoy. And I'll tell you now, your flesh will fight you for that. In the middle of the night, you'll be like, I want that donut. I want that donut. And you don't even like donuts, but you, in your mind, you've given that up. Or make a decision that you are never going to get angry on the road again. I'll tell you now, tomorrow everyone will cut you up, everyone will drive slow, and you'll be tested, you know. Or make a decision to get up early every day to pray. That'll be the mornings that you feel the most tired. We're pretty weak as humans. Actually, Paul even said this in Romans 7, verse 15. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do it. But what I hate to do, I do. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Sorry, I don't think I put verse 20 on there. But Paul actually was saying, the things I really want to do, I can't seem to do them. And the things I hate to do, I seem to always do this. But let me look at this from a different perspective. So I've said we're quite weak in our flesh. Another thing I found is that we're actually quite weak in our emotions as well. I bet you when you girls go to Soul Survivor, you come back absolutely buzzing and believing with all your heart that God loves you. Or when we go to a massive conference and the Holy Spirit is moving and we're touched by God, I'm sure we feel so loved by God. But then trials come and things come against us. And we no longer actually believe completely that God always loves us. So one of our friends gets sick. One of our children is rebellious. Someone in our family dies. Do we really believe God loves us? Or even smaller things, we fail a test, we have an accident. Do we really believe that big buzzing feeling that God is amazing and he loves us is no longer there emotionally? We feel quite low. We feel quite down. Now you see, God knew. He knew at the beginning of time that humans would fail and that we would be weak and that we wouldn't be able to stand on our own. So of course, what did he do? He sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us someone who knows God. In Luke 11, verse 13, it's not that clear, but it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, before time began, because he can see the beginning from the end, he knew that we would be weak. And because he loves us so much, he sent us someone, not just anybody, he sent someone who knows God inside and out. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, if it comes up, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor ventured into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I mean, what a great helper that God sent us. Someone who knows God, who searches the deep things of God. And the interesting thing about that scripture is it says that we actually can't, as humans, comprehend the things that God has planned for us. The things that God has actually put in place for us, the amount that God loves us, we actually as humans can't really comprehend that. We just don't have that in our natural abilities to believe that. So, I'm going to ask you quite a personal question tonight, which I asked myself. And you don't have to answer me. This is obviously something in your own heart. But it's, do you believe 100% that God loves you? And I'll tell you now, every single one of you will say, yes, I know that God loves me. But that is not the question I asked. The question I asked is, do you believe that God loves you? Because for 8 weeks, we've all been told, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. So we all know he does. But has that actually dropped into your heart? That you really, really 100% believe that he loves you? And the reason why we actually did this whole sermon series was because, I don't even know if Louise remembers, but we had a discussion in her office. And we both decided that we know that God loves us, but sometimes we're not sure he likes us. And as a result of that, we put this whole sermon series together because I realized that we need that head knowledge, that knowledge that he loves us, to drop into our hearts, to actually believe that he loves us. Romans 5, verse 3 says this: we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I love the last part of that scripture. This is the New Living Translation. It says, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You see, if we took that head knowledge and it became heart knowledge, where we really believed, really completely believed that God loved us, we would face every situation differently. We would face the test at school saying, you know what, whether I pass or I fail, I know God loves me and he's got a plan for me. When we walk into our workplaces and things are difficult or things are hard or there's a lot of pressure, if we really believed God loved us, we would face that with full confidence that he knows what he's doing, that he's got a plan for our lives, and he's going to use us in that workplace. When someone comes to us and they're sick or dying, if we really believed that God loved humans, we'd be able to say with full confidence, God loves you. God loves you. But we're afraid to tell people that because people are like, well, then why does bad things happen to me? Why is the world so full of sin? We're afraid to tell people that God loves them. And just like those angels who walk around in that program and say, God loves you, they're not ashamed to say it. But before we can actually say it to the world or say it to anyone else, we have to believe it in our hearts. We have to believe in our hearts that God loves us. And that's why we're going through this series and we're droning on about it. Not because we had nothing else to talk about. It's because we wanted what was in the head to actually come into our hearts, that we would live our lives differently. If you believe that God loves you, five things will change in your life. The first thing is confidence. Not confidence in your own abilities, not confidence in the fact that you are amazing and you're a child of God. No, the confidence in the fact that God loves you enough to send his own son to die for you. Confidence in the fact that he sent the Holy Spirit to help you. And so you'd face every situation differently. If you really believed God loved you, the second thing is sinning would be a lot harder than what we have now. Because every time we sinned, we'd be like, you know what, God really loves me. I don't want to hurt him. You know, when we know that our spouses love us, we don't want to hurt them. We don't want to do things wrong. The next thing would be joy. If you are having a lack of joy in your life, I ask you to question your heart and how much you believe God loves you. Because if you really believed God loved you with all your heart, you would have such joy in you that you can trust in him, that you can hope in him. The next thing I thought was peace. We'd have a peace. When everything around us is falling apart, the peace we'd have and the knowledge we'd have that he loves us would surpass anything. And the last thing was hope. If we really believed God loved us, we'd hope that he's got a better future for us. We'd hope that he's got more in store than what we're seeing. We'd have hope for this nation. So what if you say to me tonight, you know what, after all these weeks, I'm not sure I believe 100% that God loves me. And I have my doubts sometimes, and I've got a pretty low image of my walk with God. Then I've got a scripture for you that God gave me this week. And it was Revelation 22, verse 17. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And that hardly makes any sense. A lot of people read that and they're like, "Oh, what does that mean?" And what I felt God was saying tonight was, "Come. Come and drink freely of what I have to give you. Come and drink freely of the gift that the Holy Spirit is offering you tonight. If you are feeling down, or you are feeling sad, or you are not sure about where you stand with God, then come tonight." There's one more scripture that I wanted to share tonight, which is John 7, verse 38. It says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What does that mean? It means that if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you believe that God loves you, and you are walking with the Spirit, out of you will flow love. Out of you will flow the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you ever find sometimes you're in a room with someone who really knows God, and how different they are, and how things just flow from them when they don't even have to try? It's like something inside them is coming out. And I believe that we are in a place in history, in a place in time, which I shared the last time, and I'm going to say it again, where we cannot live in this world alone. We cannot do it. The world is so full of sin and so full of evil that we need a helper. We need a comforter. We need someone who will walk with us. But he won't just come over and overtake your life. He wants to be invited into your life. He wants to be invited into your world. And how do we do that? What I'm trying to do every day now, and I am failing at times, but I'm trying to wake up every day and say, "God, I know that you love me. Help me believe that you love me. And Holy Spirit, please reveal God's love to me today." And if you say that every single day, what will happen is your heart will start believing what you say. And you will start believing that God truly, deeply loves you. And when you start doing that, it'll actually transcend into your life, where everything you do, you'll do with the knowledge that God loves you and that he cares for you. So sinning, you won't spend 3 weeks feeling as guilty, because you know God loves you and he's going to forgive you. When you're struggling with an addiction or something difficult in your life, instead of trying to figure it out on your own, what you'll do now is say, "God, I know you love me. So please help me. Holy Spirit, please come. I can't do this. I can't do it on my own strength." When you're afraid to do something, whether it's at school or work or in the band or whatever, right now, you would change your whole perspective, where you'd say, "You know what? God, I need you. I need you in my life." And I'll tell you now that if the church in general started inviting the Holy Spirit into their lives, the church would be transformed by him. But he wants to be invited. So tonight, all I want to say to you is, come. God is ready. He's ready to touch your heart, but he'll only touch your heart if you open your heart to him. And that's what I ask you to do tonight, because I know I need to. I know that sometimes I need to work on my knowledge of that God loves me to the belief that he loves me. So I've asked the band to actually do a little bit of longer praise and worship than we usually would. We usually do it at the beginning. So I'm going to invite them up now. And I'm going to encourage you, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, whatever you believe, God is saying tonight, come and drink freely of the water he's providing to you. If you want the Holy Spirit to touch your heart, ask him. He's a gentleman. You know, he'll come and he will touch your heart, but you need to want it. You need to desire it. As a church, we need to desire the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't, he will never come. He follows desire. Wherever the hunger is, that's where God fills it. If there's no hunger in the church, God will be like, "Okay, that church is not hungry for me." But we need to get to a place where we're desperate for him to move, desperate for him to do something. So I'm gonna pray, and then I'll hand over to Simon. And if you want someone to pray with you tonight, actually, that you want a greater touch with the Holy Spirit, then I encourage you to go to the ministry team and ask them to pray with you. Because they've all felt the Holy Spirit. They know what it's like to walk with him. So ask them. Or, you know, even in this time of worship, just ask the Holy Spirit. He's ready and he's wanting to move in this place. But he'll wait for you.